I'm not going to read a text at the beginning of my message. My text will be at the end. But if you'd like to have your Bibles open to the portion of Scripture we're going to be looking at, that is Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. When I was preparing this message, a song came on the station I was listening to. Christmas song. It said, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." And I thought, that's my title, but I need to doctor it up a little bit. Instead of "It's the most wonderful time of the year," here's the title this morning. It's the busiest time of the year. Lest you think I'm a Grinch, I want to point out that was true of the first Christmas. That first Christmas. If you don't believe me, ask Joseph and Mary about that. That was the busiest time of the year for them. You know, this time of year you greet people and you say to them, "How are you?" You know what the answer is going to be? Busy. Busy. Oh, so little time, so much to do. Busy. Everybody's busy. They can be 8 years old or 80. "How you doing?" Busy. Busy. There's some consolation in that because busy has replaced something else. Tired. I don't know what it is about our age. You know, again, you can ask anyone from 8 to 80. "How you doing?" "Tired, tired." So at least this time of year, it's busy. Some still manage to work it in. They say, "How you doing?" "Busy and tired, tired and busy." You know, it's only right that this time of year be so busy, because that first Christmas was extremely busy. You see, this week I begin to read Luke chapter 1. That's the story of the birth of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, the announcer of Jesus, which is a part of the nativity story. But as I read that, this year I noticed that everybody in that story was busy. Every character in that story was busy. Not just on one day, and not just for one month, as we're busy at Christmas time. Their busyness started about 15 months out. Things started getting busy. You know what I want us to do this morning? I want us, each of us, to leave this place today thanking God that Christmas is so busy. That's what I want to do. You think we can do that? You think we can leave here and say, "Thank God Christmas is so busy"? You seem doubtful. Here's what I discovered in the story. First of all, Zacharias and Elizabeth were busy living for God. They were busy living for God. Our story begins with a priest named Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. Both of them were of the tribe or the clan of Aaron. Aaron's clan was the priest's clan. But we are told that this couple, who had prayed for years for a child, and now they're up in age, we are told of this couple, they're described this way to us by Luke. He said they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And so when I read Luke's description of Zacharias and Elizabeth, I see a busy couple. They were busy keeping the commands of the Lord, serving the Lord. I've pointed out that they're older, disappointedly childless. And yet, even being childless and being disappointed of having no child, this is a couple who lived for God all out. I mean, they were all in serving God. It was their life. They were busy living for God, keeping His word, serving Him. I tell you, it's a mistake, especially for Christians, when people claim or conclude that they're too busy for church and too busy for prayer and too busy for this serving God thing. I mean, I want to tell you, the truth is you'll always be busy doing something. Very few people are sitting at home twiddling their thumbs. Everybody's busy doing something. You might as well be busy serving the Lord. How many knows that's the best busy you can be? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The truth is, amen, the best way to live your life is to live it busy serving the Lord. We should be, I just put it this way, we should be too busy living for God to live for this world. We should be too busy living for God to live for ourselves. We should be too busy living for God to live for Satan. How many wants to be busy living for God? And then Zacharias was busy ministering to God. Ministering to God. You see, all of Aaron's descendants were priests. But now they have populated. There's so many priests that there's not enough ministry slots for all of them. So they divided them up in groups. And I know exactly how they did it, but for that year's service in the temple, they would, however they did it, draw names, whatever they did, but they would determine who out of all those priests would be serving in the temple at that occasion. You see, this was all orchestrated of the Lord, because when all these ministries and positions were divvied out among Aaron's descendants, did you know it was only once in a lifetime, the odds were once in a lifetime that a priest would be chosen to minister in the temple. But this year, Zacharias' name came up. Don't tell me that wasn't God at work. And so Zacharias finds it his assigned responsibility to serve in the temple. His job is going to be to offer incense. So that day comes and the crowd gathers. Zacharias, he prepares the incense. He walks up to that first compartment of the temple, the holy place. He pushes aside the veil. He steps in. He lets the veil fall back behind him, closing off the sunlight, the daylight. It takes him a moment for his eyes to adjust, because he's come in from the daylight and the only light in there is the light from candlesticks over to his left. He's looking into the darkness ahead of him where the altar is, where he's going to offer the incense, and his eyes are still adjusting. And all of a sudden, Zacharias, he starts. He's surprised. He's frightened. Why? Because only one priest went into that place. There's not to be anybody else in there. He's to be alone. But he realizes he's not alone. The light is on his left, so standing in the shadows of the altar on the right side is a figure, somebody that's not supposed to be in there. You can imagine his surprise. I think he almost dropped the incense he had brought in there to offer. Fear fell upon him. He's paralyzed. Then the figure speaks and calls him by name, Zacharias. I've got a message for you. Zacharias was busy ministering to God, and God spoke to him. Could I tell you this morning that God meets with, he speaks to those who are busy ministering to him. You want God to speak to you? Get busy worshiping. Get busy praying. Get busy singing. Get busy witnessing. Get busy in ministry to the Lord, and God's going to show up and he's going to speak to you. And then the people were busy praying. In our story, and I don't know if you're able to follow along as I tell it to you, but during the time that Zacharias has disappeared behind the veil, the people of Israel, whom he represented, he's going in there for the people. He's going in there to represent them to God. They're massed outside in the courtyard, watching and waiting. You see, it's this simple. Zacharias is going to disappear behind the veil. And as the people's representation, it's only when Zacharias returns and reappears from the other side of the veil that the people will know that God has accepted Zacharias' interceding for them. And so they're not looking at the sky, and they're not looking at their neighbor, and they're not looking behind them at the city. Their eyes are riveted on the veil. Is Zacharias going to reappear? Has God accepted his intercession on our behalf? And we look in the story and we find the people were not visiting with each other. Amen. Not one of them were on their cell phones. None of them were asleep. None of them were eating a snack. None had flopped down on the ground. They were standing there. There they stood, but they were doing something. You might have already located in the scripture, as they stood and waited, they were praying. Zacharias is inside. The people are outside praying. You know, on this occasion, Zacharias stayed in there much longer than was the custom, much longer than what they were used to. I can guarantee you one thing, the longer Zacharias was absent behind the veil, the more fearful the people became and the more fervently they prayed. Amen. You know, the thing that I note here about the people being as busy, they were as invested in the ministry that day as Zacharias was. They were as into it as Zacharias was. Sure, he's the one that was handling the incense. Sure, he's the one that went behind the veil. But those people were as much into that service as the one ministering. They were praying. Could I tell you, you're the gathered congregation this morning, but you can be as engaged and interactive in this service as even myself preaching. How can you do it? How can you be involved? How can you take place in what's going on as the congregation of the Lord? You can be praying. I said you can be praying. Even as I preach, you can be praying. God touch this one. God save this one. God minister to this one. God encourage this one. God do this morning. How many believes we ought to be busy praying? Glory to God. I haven't seen a soul on their cell phone this morning. I'm telling you what. Amen. It's the people of God. We need to be busy. I may hold the microphone this morning, but you may hold the key to the service by praying and seeking God. The people were busy praying, but not just in a time of church and service. I believe the life of the believer ought to be one busy with prayer. Let me tell you something about our enemy, Satan. He will convince you and me that we are too busy to pray, that we have no time to pray. Amen. The truth is, as Martin Luther said, the truth is we're too busy not to pray. Amen. I know how prayer goes. You'll never feel like you're accomplishing less than when you're praying. How many knows I'm telling you the truth? It seems just like a waste of time. You can think of 100 other things that you ought to be doing. I'm talking about when we're in the, before we get to that wonderful place of praying in the Spirit, when we pray, it's like we could be doing something more profitable. I want to tell you, until we pray, we can't do anything else more profitable. Amen. Especially in the work of God. Oh, how we need to pray. I know the house is dirty. Amen. No, I don't know that. No one told me your house was dirty, but I'm creating a scenario. I know the floor needs vacuumed. I know there's dishes in the sink. I know this isn't true this time of year, but the lawn needs mown. I know all those things are before you. But a look at the conditions of our world, and a look at the conditions of church, and the look at the conditions of the work of God, and the conditions that so many of our loved ones have found themselves in, we ought to take assessment and say, we better get busy praying. Hallelujah. You know, if we want something to come from the other side of the veil, we need to be a people that's praying. Hallelujah. And then the angel was busy announcing births. How'd you like that job? Show up and tell people they're going to have a child, especially when they're grandparents' age, like Zacharias and Elizabeth. You know, angels did make visits. You can read of those in scriptures. They made visits to planet Earth, but not this frequently. I mean, in our story, this one angel made two visits to Earth only 6 months apart. He was busy. And he was an important angel too. This is Gabriel, an archangel, busy. First, he made an announcement to Zacharias. You know that figure we left off the story there on the other side of the veil, but that figure standing there on the right side of the altar, that was the angel, Gabriel. And he had showed up because he had an announcement to Zacharias. Here's what he told Zacharias. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Listen, this is so important. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him, the Messiah, in the spirit and the power of Elias. Here it is again. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zacharias, you and Elizabeth are going to have that baby you prayed for years and years. What did Zacharias do? Say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, God is true and faithful. No, Zacharias protested. He said, my wife and I were too old to have a child. This seems like a cruel trick. Why didn't you come tell us we're going to have a child when we're young? Now we're old. How can this be? Zacharias said. And to tell the truth, Gabriel seems a bit miffed that Zacharias would not just accept his announcement of having a child. And so the angel says, I'm Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these sayings shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now the people had already become extremely concerned for Zacharias. But I want to tell you what, when he finally pulled aside that veil and stumbled out back into the daylight, he's stunned, he's discombobulated, and the people look at him and begin to ask what in the world had happened in there. I don't know necessarily that way, but I think when we leave the house of God, people ought to ask, what happened to you in there? They became more amazed because when Zacharias tried to tell him what to happen, he got, and no words would come out. He began to motion with his hands. And somebody said, where's Brother Brian? Get him in here. What's he trying to say? And the scripture says, finally, they understood through his motions and expressions that he had had a vision in there behind the veil. Now here's Zacharias, he's unable to speak, but this shows his character. He finished up his term, the scripture says, of ministry. He didn't just go home because now he's got a problem. He finished up his term. He and Elizabeth went home, and very soon it was clear she was expectant with a child. I don't know the significance of this necessarily, but she stayed for 5 months in the house, let somebody else do the shopping and get in the water. For 5 months, nobody knew. But the angel's not finished. He's busy. He's got another announcement to make. 6 months later, he goes about 90 to 100 miles north to a backwater town called Nazareth to a young girl named Mary, a virgin girl engaged to a man named Joseph. She too was startled when suddenly this busy angel appears to her. But she's more startled by what he said. Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. What she heard was Savior, Deliverer. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary's doubt isn't like Zacharias. Zacharias says, this is a thing that can't be. Mary's doubt wasn't really doubt. It was wondering, How is this going to take place? What's the logistics here? And she asked the angel, she said, how can I become expectant when I've never had relations with any man? And the angel basically told her, this is going to totally be a God thing. Listen to what he says. He says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God. But the angel didn't just leave it there. He gave her a way to confirm this promise. He gave her a means of evidence that she could go and check out. He said, by the way, the angel did, you know your cousin Elizabeth, that old cousin of yours? She hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month with her. Not only that she's expectant, he told her how far along. She's 6 months expectant of the one who was called barren. She's called barren, but she's having a baby. Why? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. What was Mary's response? Just trust and obedience. She says, let God do with me as he wants to. Could I tell you this morning, amen, a barren lady can have a baby. A young mother that has never had relationships with any man can have a child conceived within her womb. Amen. That phrase the angel spake did not expire in Bible times. It is true today. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. What would the busy angel tell us this morning? He would tell us, he has time to tell us that the things that we are encountering and facing, the things that look impossible, our God has not changed. For with God, nothing shall be called impossible. You say of that loved one, they'll never get saved. They'll never be able to kick the habit. They'll never turn to the Lord. I'm telling you, with God, nothing shall be called impossible. And he that gave a baby to an old lady, he can cause folks to be born again into the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? And then the Holy Spirit was busy making things happen. There's no doubt that mom and dad had been busy. They've got to paint the baby room. They got to buy a crib. Zacharias and Elizabeth's busy. But I want you to know the Holy Spirit's busy too. 4 times in this chapter, 4 times in the story of John the Baptist's birth, the Holy Spirit's mentioned. He fills the fetus, John. He hovers over Mary and causes her to conceive the God-man, Jesus. He fills Mama Elizabeth with himself. And then he fills Daddy, Zacharias. I want to tell you, it's not changed. When God does something, he does it through the power of the Holy Ghost. Could I tell you what we see in this story? The Holy Ghost got busy bringing about the Word of God. And I want to tell you, I know this is a Christmas message, but if there's anything we need the Holy Spirit to be busy amongst us, bringing to pass the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. How many wants the Holy Spirit to be busy in your life? He is the executive of God. He's the one that does the will of God. Amen. Brings about the Word of God. The Holy Spirit got busy. Amen. Note here, as I told you about the Holy Spirit, the child, John, the fetus, was filled with the Holy Ghost. The mother, Elizabeth, was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost. I think it's remarkable that the whole family was filled with the Holy Ghost. Could I tell you, we're living in such a time. Amen. What we need more than anything is for dad to be full of the Holy Ghost. Mom to be full of the Holy Spirit. Children to be. We need the whole family to be Holy Spirit families. Thank God for that example. That ought to be our goal. So the Holy Spirit was busy. He was busy. Mary's conception, filling these with the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit was busy during the first Christmas season, may he be busy in this Christmas season. And let me just talk to you as a pastor. You know, sometimes I dread special services, not because folks don't work hard and make some wonderful things happen. They always do. But somehow we get in a special service like a Christmas service and we say, I mean, we don't say this out loud. We don't articulate it. And it's not an attitude. It's just reality. We say, you know, that's the little kid Sunday school class. They're putting ornaments on a Christmas tree. Or we say, that's junior choir singing, and that's cute and everything. But well, that's the choir singing again. It's just a special program. Folks are here. Amen. Let's sit back and be spectators and get it over with. And amen. And again, not a bad attitude. It's just the way we are as humans. But I want to tell you, if the Holy Spirit was at work that first Christmas, why should we not believe Him to be at work this Christmas? And even in a Sunday school program, cannot the Holy Spirit move in such a way that somebody comes to know the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. How many wants the Holy Spirit to be busy amongst us at Christmas time? Hallelujah. And then Mary was busy visiting. Even the angel said, if you want proof that what I say is true, go visit. Go see about this. He didn't tell her visit. He just told her about it. Go, this older cousin of yours, she's having a baby. Mary didn't waste a second. She got busy planning the trip, packing for the trip, and taking the trip down south to Judea to see her cousin Elizabeth, 90 miles or so. Mary got busy following through on what the angel had told her, checking it out. Now, there's no telling how long it had been since Mary had last seen Zacharias and Elizabeth. 90 miles is a long ways back then. I don't know when she has seen them last. This is a surprise visit. She wasn't able to call ahead and say she was coming. Let's add one more thing to that time. Back in those times when you knocked, you can see this all through Scripture, you didn't knock this way. When you knocked at a house, you walked up and began to call to those that were on the inside. And so Mary, on this surprise visit, she shows up to Zacharias and Elizabeth's house, and she begins to call out, Elizabeth, Zacharias, amen. She's busy, amen, seeing if the things of God are not true. Could I tell you, we too need to be busy experiencing those things that God said is true. God said Elizabeth is having a baby. Mary said, I want to see that. Amen. God has told us some things too, and we ought to be busy saying, I want to see that. I want to see it happen. Mary's busy. And then the fetus John was busy pointing out Jesus. I got an amen from long distance. Hallelujah. The fetus John was busy pointing out Jesus. Elizabeth was in her house that day. I don't know what she was doing, but the baby that she was carrying in her womb got busy. Oh, this is one of the most wondrous scenes in the Bible. Mary is standing at the door crying out, Elizabeth, Elizabeth. Amen. But when Mary stood there, the fetus in Elizabeth's womb recognized the fetus in Mary's womb. And John the Baptist, who had come to point out Jesus, isn't even born yet, but he begins to say from Elizabeth's womb, he's here, he's here, he's here, he's at the door. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit still does that. He'll come to your door and say, he's here, he's here, he's here. The Bible says the fetus John leaped and he jumped. Now to get this picture, you got to understand this word leaped. You're supposed to get the picture of a young lamb or a young calf at springtime skipping through the pasture. How many can see that picture? How many seen those lambs? I mean, they're actually jumping more up than they are forward. Amen. That's what the word means. The fetus John began to jump up in the womb of Elizabeth. Amen. Just this week in our legislative body, amen, they passed some laws. We don't know if they're going to make it all the way through the process. But our Ohio legislators passed an abortion law to protect the unborn. But you know, the sad reality of it is this. If John the Baptist had been conceived in our time, there was a big there'd be a big chance he would have been aborted even when he was already pointing out who Jesus was. Amen. The forerunner could have been aborted. Amen. We're living in perilous times. I'm trying to say, they say that that fetus isn't a person, but I'm telling the fetus, John, recognize the Messiah. How alive is that? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. God's always got it right. Don't abort that baby. I can even use a fetus to preach the gospel. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit does now what he did then. He points out Jesus to people. You may be here this morning. I want you to know what you feel tugging at your heart is the Spirit saying, Jesus is real. Jesus is Savior. Jesus loves you, and he came to deliver you. Aren't you glad? I know it was John the Baptist, but it was the Spirit in John the Baptist. Scripture makes clear. Aren't you glad the Spirit points out Jesus to us? Not a one of us would be saved if it hadn't been the Spirit. He might have used a man. He might have used a preacher or a friend. But it was the Holy Spirit that says, that's him. That's your Savior. That's the one who can deliver you out of darkness. Oh, come on, let's praise him. Hallelujah. How many knows he's still doing that? The Holy Spirit's still pointing out Jesus. Glory to God. And then the mothers were busy, and I didn't know what to call this, but the mothers were busy song prophesying. And so let's go back to Elizabeth. She'd not been told Mary was coming. She was not told that Mary was expectant with the Messiah. The news was not out. It's secret. No postal service, no texting, no Facebook, no email, and too far for a smoke signal. Even Elizabeth had no idea that Mary was even expectant. But all of a sudden, Elizabeth says, you're expectant. And you're not just expectant. You're expectant with the Messiah. How did Elizabeth know that? Because of the Holy Ghost in her fetus, in her womb. Oh, what a story. Oh, what a Savior. Hallelujah. Before she even knew Mary was on the other side of the door, even knew Mary was expectant, even before she heard him, her calling out to her, Elizabeth, the baby in the womb said, the Savior is here. Now, I want you to notice what Elizabeth did. She didn't open the door and say, oh, Mary, it's you. So good to see you, Mary. Been a long time since I've seen you, Mary. Oh, my favorite cousin, I'm so glad you came to visit me. What brought you here? No, Elizabeth put all the greetings aside and simply began to prophesy. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost gets involved, the formalities get set aside, the customs get set aside, and he just takes over. Oh, I'd like to see him do it in the house of God. Hallelujah. Set the formality aside, set the custom aside, and let the Holy Ghost begin to speak. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost and burst forth, and the scripture said loudly. Always like a plug for Pentecost when I can have it. It said loudly. She didn't say, thus saith the Lord. Loud. She said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Oh, what confirmation to Mary, not only that Elizabeth was pregnant, but that she was expectant with the Lord, because Elizabeth had no way of knowing that, and Elizabeth is telling Mary the same thing the angel did. You're expectant with the Lord. Don't you know God knows how to confirm his word? But I guarantee you one thing. If there was ever an electric moment charged with the divine in human history, it was that moment when Mary and Elizabeth greeted one another. And the child in Elizabeth's womb recognized the child in Mary's womb. What a moment in history. But do you realize that was the very first declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Mary begins to sing, prophesy. It's a song that came by inspiration even as she spoke it. She had not sat down and arranged this and wrote this. It came from her soul. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generations to generation. He hath shown the strength of his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath pulled down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel and remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Oh, what a song, what a prophecy. Mary stayed for 3 more months with Elizabeth, and the scripture is not clear whether Mary waited till just after John was born and went home, or went home right before John was born. All I know is those lady had been busy giving praise to God. I want you to know it ought to be that way today. The awareness of Jesus' presence ought to still inspire our hearts to sing and to worship and to praise. We too should be busy with song, prophesying, and worship. And just about done. But the Father was busy setting the record straight. So in the time of life, Elizabeth gave birth to John. Amen. 8 days later, the family, the neighbors showed up for the celebration of his birth at the occasion of circumcision. And when they got there, Brother O'Hare, you know how the ladies will do. They'll gather around that little baby and they begin to play with its cheeks and its little hands. And oh, it's so cute. Look at little Zacharias. Zacky, Zacky, Zacky. Zacky, Zacky. Zacharias. Oh. Mary said, stop. What? Don't call him that. Don't call him that. That's his dad's name. This is Junior. No, don't call him that. Well, why? His name is John. Oh, that can't be, they said. Nobody in your family, nobody in Zacharias' family has ever been named John. Why would you name him John for? Because the angel said. About that time, they said, well, you can't have this right. Any dad would want to name his son after himself. Let's ask Zacharias. I always wanted to name one of my sons Clifford, and my wife would not agree. That red dog's ruined it for all of us. They said, Zacharias, you're going to call him Zacharias, aren't you? He beckoned. Remember, he can't speak. He beckoned literally for a tablet. I don't know if it was iPad or Android, but he probably clay. And he picked up the stylus. He began to press that stylus or write, however he did it. But he said, his name is John. And before he put the stylus down, the Holy Spirit hit Zacharias and he began to speak. And it wasn't wind supper. He began to prophesy. Hallelujah. He said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited, listen to the words here, redeemed his people. He hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. His message is clear. God has been busy to save us. He's been busy to redeem us. He's been busy to forgive our sins. He's been busy to lead us out of darkness. Could I tell you, that's the whole message of Luke 1, that God is busy, and all of this busyness was because God was busy. Zacharias is busy, God's busy. And Mary's busy, God's busy. Elizabeth's busy, God's busy. The Holy Spirit's busy, God's busy. And why was God busy? He's busy to save us. Oh, hallelujah. Someone shout glory this way. I said He's busy to save us. All this activity, would you come music, all this activity was at the instigation of God. God was the mover. God was the cause, because He's bringing a Savior to the world. And so I read my text, Luke 1:31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call His name Savior, Jesus, Rescuer, Deliverer. Verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. And the last words of Zechariah's prophecy that I read to you tells us what it was all about. The reason God was so busy to give light to them that sit in darkness. How many remembers when that light shined in your darkness? Can you remember? God was busy to shine light. Could I tell you, God's still busy to save humanity. Amen. All of this then was that God might save. All of it today is that God might save. So thank God we're busy. Thank God we're busy singing the Christmas songs. Thank God we're busy preaching the Christmas message. Thank God we have the programs. Why? Because God gets involved in that to save the loss, to bring out of darkness. Christmas time is when God is busy saving folks. How many believes He's still busy? I believe if you're here and you're lost, God's busy in your life. If you'd only take time to look and see, God's busy in this service. I really believe that. Your neighbor may be asleep, but I believe God is busy in this service. He's calling somebody this morning. He's saying, I'm as much your Savior as I am anybody's Savior. I came as much for you as I did for anyone. The Holy Spirit's busy in this place, convicting and drawing. Amen. Aren't you glad God got busy? I know we're applying a human term to God, but we understand what that means. He's engaged. He's active. Aren't you glad God is active to save? Oh, praise the name of the Lord. I close with this. It shouldn't be a surprise, but I read an article that for mental health counselors, the Christmas season is one of the busiest times of the year. Many of you will understand that, betrayal and anxiety and grief. But I want to tell you, there's another counselor that's busy in the Christmas season. Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Counselor. And if you need help, if you need saving, I want to recommend the real counselor to you. I had a call this week from someone across the town. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm entering into deep depression. That happens at Christmas time. But God was busy so that those that sat in darkness could see a great light. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you stand across this building? Would you lift your hands and say, Lord, that lady that's entering into dark depression, shine light
in her mind and heart right now. Would you do it? Amen. Pray right now. God, shine light. Shine light. Shine light. Hallelujah. 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 I really believe this. There's someone here this morning. The whole service, God has been busy calling your name, reaching out to you, speaking to you. Amen. Don't hesitate. Respond. Every one of these characters, Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, John the Baptist, they all responded when God wanted to move in their life. I'm going to encourage you this morning. God's moving in your life. Respond to that. Please hear me. Please let the Holy Ghost take over right now. But there's some here, anxiety reaches up and grabs hold of you and squeezes at your mind and your soul. Amen. I want you to know God wants to shine His light in that darkness this morning. There's no darkness like the darkness of sin and past regrets and past abuse and past hurts. But I know a God who's busy right here in this service saying, if you would let me, I would shine my light. And when the light shines in darkness, the darkness can't stop it. The darkness can't hold it back. If you could keep the door shut on the light, but if you'd open the door, the light will shine in, and no darkness on the inside is stronger than the light of God. How many knows I'm telling you the truth? Glory to God. How many would just say, I need God to work in my life this morning, whatever it is, and you'd come to these steps we use as an altar and say, I need God to work in my life. Would you begin to come right now? Don't hesitate. It doesn't matter what it's over, what it is. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, if you'd let Him, the Holy Spirit would move on your heart right now. You may be full of discouragement. Come ahead. Come ahead. You may be full of discouragement, but you can leave with joy leaping in your heart because of Him. Amen. I know there's others this morning. I feel like God is busy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you come? Would you come this morning? Hallelujah. I'm opening these altars. Amen. If you say, amen. Let's just do something. Let's just do something. I started this way. I hadn't planned on this. But the next time somebody asks you how things are going this Christmas season, how things are going, here's the way you answer them. God's busy. Hallelujah. How about that? How about we answer that way? God's busy. If you want God to be busy in your life, your family, your world, your church, would you come and seek Him this morning and invite Him to be at work in your life? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Lord, be busy. Lord, be busy in these altars. Lord, be busy. Oh, fill this place, Holy Spirit, Lord, do your
bring
work.
Us healing with your warm embrace.
Lord, bring healing.
Show healing. Your power, make your presence known. Holy Spirit, come fill this place.
Oh, come on, church, let's be busy praying. Hallelujah.
Breath of God, we need a touch from you.
All over this building, be busy praying.
Shine down on us with the light of truth. Still our hearts and set our spirit free. Holy Spirit, come fill.
Let God touch you.
This place.
Let God touch you.
Holy Spirit, come fill this place.
Holy Spirit, fill this place. Jesus is on the other side of the veil.
My soul is waiting to know someone who
let's pray.
Can take us higher, help us make it through. So will you please come and set us free? Holy Spirit, come and fill this place.
Lord, fill this place.
Bring us healing with your warm embrace. Show your power.
praying for someone. Pray the light would shine in the darkness.
Breath of God, we need a touch from you. Shine down on us with the light of truth. Still our hearts and set our spirit free. Holy Spirit, come fill His place. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Our hearts are hungry for Your just